the team that's been getting the most attention this offseason in this division, and that's the Brownies.
Sure.
And we're looking at a team right now that was in a must-win situation on Sunday. You absolutely had to have this game against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. And I will say this. I thought when you don't have a Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, Christian Kirksey, some other guys missing, I thought the defensive side of the ball, they held their own. I thought they did their part against a Rams squad who we know can be really explosive, whether it's Cup, who had a big-time game, but there's other guys, Cooks and Woods, along that offense, too, that you really have to respect. Now, Jared Goff's a different quarterback, it seems, on the road than he is at L.A.
I was just getting ready to say that. We can talk about that in a minute.
But he went in, he got the dub, right? You got to give him the credit for that. But I really just thought, when you look at what's happening with the Brownies, it's something that we've touched on leading up to the season is up front, they got issues, man. They really have issues. And when you lose a Joe Thomas, you lose a Zeitler in the trade, you lose some other guys along that offensive line, right? This is the result that you're going to get so far. And I don't know if you should solely put the blame on Freddie Kitchens' play calling. There was some questionable stuff happening. That 4th-and-9 draw, look, I'm not getting down with that play when you have Odell and Jarvis.
Right.
Like, I want to give them a chance. Then you look at all the pass attempts on that last drive there. In the game, run it with Nick Chubb, who had, you know, over 90 yards in the game.
Well, what's crazy is they struggle up front, but they can run the ball still.
It's a weird dynamic. It's showing up to me more in the passing game, more so it is in the running game.
Those guys, when they have to pass set, they're a completely different line than when they get to pin their ears back and they get to tee off on a guy.
Right.
And like, it's two identities.
And now it's just affecting everything. I think it's affecting what the receivers can do. I think you're starting to see Baker see some type of ghost because he knows that right now they're not getting the job done. So he's trying to alleviate some of that pressure by escaping the pocket maybe a little bit earlier than he should. And then it's affecting the play calling as well, I think.
But how do you, like, watch Baker and watch how many times he pats the football.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so used to throwing shorter timing routes, and now he's got to wait for things to develop down the field. And I just feel like he looks antsy, like he's patting the ball, like he's ready to throw it, like that's what he's done his whole career.
Right.
And he's like, no, I got to wait another second before I can actually get this one out. It doesn't look very good to me.
Now, when you're in a game against Aaron Donald, the game plan is going to be, hey, get the ball out fast, regardless of how good our offensive line is, because you look at the stats. Now, maybe the numbers in that game don't jump off the page for you, but he was wrecking that game.
Right.
And look, Clay Matthews, Eric Weddle, some vets that they brought in, they were making their presence known too. But the thing, and you saw that Freddie Kitchens and the offensive staff went to a lot of quick passes in the game, slants and a lot of other things. Now, that's a route that we all know Odell runs better, arguably, than anybody in the game.
Sure.
But now, when you look at the offensive line, what that's affecting is your chance to, later in the game, run a play-action pass deep,
right,
or allow Odell Beckham, who runs that slant really well, to show a sluggo,
right?
Slant and go,
yep,
against a corner that's probably going to bite because you've shown it a few times, but you don't have the time to do that right now. And I don't know if this is a situation that's going to get fixed. I don't know how it gets fixed. We were talking about Washington and their disgruntled left tackle.
Right.
I think it would be worth it. Now, I'm sure they've made the call.
Sure.
I'm sure Washington's being a little stingy with Trent Williams, rightfully so. He's a heck of a player. But they have to figure out something up front to make this a better deal for them, because if they don't, you're going to be looking at more offensive outputs like this, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I guess my question to you is, what is your level of concern with this offense right now?
I am on a scale of like 1 to 10.
Sure.
Probably out of like a 4 right now.
Okay.
I think there's enough time for them to figure this thing out, because also you got Njoku's out for a minimum of 8 weeks. He goes to IR. Now, he's had his up and down kind of you know, tenure here in the league right now, but they're too good offensively to not figure this thing out. So I'm at a 4 right now. Where are you at?
Probably about a 6.
Really?
I just expected them to – it's not even – that they're struggling. I just expected the operation to look a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. I expected the play calling to be a little bit better. Like, and I don't know. It's just a weird spot. I feel like this could get a little bit haywire in a hurry, because, you know, you can get to a point where people are criticizing Baker in a certain way and you know how he's going to respond to that.
Right.
And you can get in a certain situation where Odell is not getting the ball as much as he wants to, and you know how that could turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm probably at about a 6, just because I expected, like, baseline, even looking at week 1, I just expected more.
Yeah.
Period.
That's fair. No, and I think it's fair. And when you look at the situation, right, when you have a rookie head coach who was the running back coach a year ago, then took over some of the play calling, there's some inexperience there.
Right.
And he's saying that he's not going to hand over the play calling to anybody else, and I respect that.
Sure.
Because you don't want to show this early on that you don't have the ability as a head coach to figure something out.
Right.
But it's right now for the Browns because this week it's at Baltimore. Then it's at San Francisco, who has a donut in the loss column.
Yep.
Home against Seattle, who is, they haven't really popped. But it's Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll coming to town, right? And then you have a bye week, week seven, and then you go on the road to Foxborough. So this is absolutely, this four-game stretch, a big-time run here for the Brownies. We're going to find out what they're about.
How many do you think they win out of those four?
Two, which I think's okay. And I think, obviously, the sandwich of Baltimore and New England in between San Francisco and Seattle are the two games they absolutely want the most because of the playoff implications.
Yep.
But San Francisco's a team right now where you watch them, their defensive front, which we've
let you know
that there's a unit that you need to watch.
Yeah.
They are wrecking games. Jimmy G, I don't know so much about, but their run game is really good right now. And then Seattle is Seattle. When Russell Wilson's on the field, in that Seahawk helmet, you got to respect what they can do.
No doubt.
So I think they definitely get two of those games. I don't know which two right now, but I think they'll get two of them, and they have to.
That's what I was going to say. If they don't get two, this is a different team. The season becomes different for these guys.
Yeah, and then after that, it's at Denver, Buffalo, home against Pittsburgh, and then Miami. So it lightens up a little bit, but this is it right here. For a team that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people thought was going to make a lot of noise in the playoffs, myself included.
Yep.
This next four games, we're going to find out what the 2019 Cleveland Browns are all about, looking at a 1-2 record right now at Baltimore this week.